Hi, everybody. Larry McCarron podcasting along with head coach Mike McCarthy. And Mike, the heavy lifting practice-wise done earlier in the week, Fridays and Saturdays, more meetings and so forth. I know you practice on Saturdays with a Sunday game, but more meetings and more mental stuff. What are those meetings like?
Fridays is a really a great day for both coach and player. You know, from a coaching standpoint, you get to really do two things. You know, go through all the corrections of the week, but also it's really your opportunity to give a test to your position group, or you know have some type of interactive meeting, both offense and defense. Like the offense has a star bucking with Edgar Bennett, and he has a presentation that he gives, and then in that he gives a test that each position has a representative of, and you know it's just a very creative meeting, a lot of group interaction. There's some current events involved, you know, mostly football specifics to that game plan, and just offensively that kind of carries over even to Saturday. Aaron Rodgers has a presentation that he gives every Saturday for 10 to 15 minutes. It's you know mostly football, and then there's once again something going on in the world or in the building at Green Bay Packers. So just a very creative, a lot of interaction. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you can't be totally rigid all football each and every day. You have to find different ways to talk about the same thing as much as you can. So, and that's what I've always enjoyed as a position coach and a coordinator. And I think our guys do a phenomenal job of that. And it's amazing how creative these guys are. I mean, just sitting in a quarterback meeting this morning and listening to, you know, Scott, Brett, and Aaron talk about you know all the different options on PowerPoint and this and that, and these, you know because they do all their own presentations and everything, and I mean it's just incredible with this generation, you know, just their knowledge and insight and their creative abilities when it comes to utilizing the internet and the other resources and applying it to beating the San Diego Chargers. So it's a big part of our environment, a big part of our culture.
I mean, certainly football's the overriding thought all the time, but I can remember one time discussing politics with Corey Linsley. And is it kind of fun when you see the guys, they've got other interests, and they're pretty deep interests. It's kind of fun. I mean, these aren't just football players, they're real human beings.
Yeah, they're very eclectic human beings, and their knowledge outside of football is remarkable. That's something that's really, it's always impressed me about the professional athletes. Just going back to my early years in Kansas City, just you know the other interests that these men have, because you think of you know the time and the commitment and what it takes to play this game. But just there's so many diverse backgrounds and frankly, with the fact that they are playing professional football in the National Football League, they're exposed to other opportunities. They're exposed to even more educational opportunities, and you know the resources are a lot more than when they were in college. So, and they take full advantage of it. So, yeah, it's remarkable when you sit down and talk to these young men how educated they are, and just really the level that they're into their interests outside of football.
Mike, next week at some point you're going to make it to the old grade school, St. Rosalia's in Pittsburgh. And there's some kind of Super Bowl recognition and so forth for the school. What's that all about?
It's an event. It's actually two events at once. The city of Pittsburgh is having a proclamation of Mike McCarthy Day. It's you know something that they've asked or you know offered for the last couple of years, and it just never really worked out timing wise. So we're gonna have that, and also the presentation of the Golden Football, the 50th anniversary of the National Football League, and where the every player and every head coach that's won a Super Bowl has the opportunity to present it to their high school. Well, my high school has since closed, so we're going to present the football to St. Rosalia's Academy, and also have the proclamation by the city of Pittsburgh, Councilman Corey O'Connor, and we're going to do it right there in the cafeteria of it's called Bishop Worrell Hall, right underneath the church, and kind of a pep rally atmosphere. So I know it's something my family's really looking forward to.
Did you have nuns in grade school?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let me ask
you. Look at the knuckles. I got the busted knuckles.
Was Mr. McCarthy in row two there? Because I remember the nuns, they always sometimes called you Mr. no matter how old you were. Was Mr. McCarthy, did he have a little mischief in his eye, or how did that work out?
Not a whole lot. I mean, I was a pretty, you know, my parents, maybe you should ask them privately, but I was a good kid. I was a shy kid, actually, always smiling. But my whole family, we had a great experience at St. Rosalia's. It was just St. Rosalia's back then, St. Rosalia's Academy. So, and our neighborhood was, you know, the 70s and 80s in Pittsburgh, it was, you know, really a tight-knit neighborhood. Everybody knew everybody, and it was all about sports and, you know, going to church and being part of the community. So I have great, great memories of my childhood in Pittsburgh.
You play sports at St. Rosalia's?
Oh, yeah. Well, we did. We had all we had was basketball. That was the only sport that we had. So we had baseball, the Greenfield Baseball Association. So played baseball there all the way up to in the high school. But our game was basketball. You would think growing up in Pittsburgh, just at that particular time, the inner city kids didn't really have, weren't exposed to football until you went to high school. So really, I didn't play high school. I didn't play football until I went to high school.
Did they have like when they get to the seventh and eighth graders, sometimes they have dancers. did they have dances?
We had dances, and I could clearly remember.
Did you dance?
Once in a while. I was probably, I'd say I was more wallflower than dancer. But, you know, when the slow dance come on, obviously you couldn't say no to the young ladies. But I remember clearly as Sister Dolores coming over and making sure to leave room for the Holy Ghost. So that's really my greatest memory of the St. Rosalia dances. You know, you had to be there at a certain time. It was going to finish exactly at the time they said it was going to finish, and the Holy Ghost was going to be between every boy and girl in the seventh and eighth grade.
So were you an altar boy too?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I was an altar boy, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. That's when they had the old five. Was it the 5:30 mass or the six o'clock or 6:20?
Yeah,
the early morning mass before school. That was good for you. You know, remember the first time we put too much incense in the. we were doing a funeral the one time, and me and a guy named Danny Welsh were back there, and we were kind of rookies, and the priest wasn't there yet, so we put the charcoal in the, I forget what you call that, but. And you had to put, they said, just put one scoop of incense in there. And so we put one scoop in there, and we're sitting there, we get dressed. And, you know, Father Conroy, he still wasn't there, and didn't look like there was enough smoke coming out of it. So we threw two more in there. And so next thing you know, Father Conroy comes back, and we got the whole back of the church. The smoke is coming. This poor family's coming in for the funeral. We got the windows open. We're trying to, you know, we got to scrape, but, you know. Oh yeah, we got in trouble that day. But that was no, altar boy was you know, obviously it was a privilege. But were you an altar boy?
Oh yeah. Clay Matthews has been a great player for a while, but I don't think I've ever seen him play better. How are you looking at him?
No, Clay's off to a great start. I think it's really, you know, a lot of the, you know, carryover from the end of last year, and just, you know, being creative with him, and, you know, taking advantage of his abilities just to be, I mean, so damn disruptive. I mean, just the way he flies around and his instincts, his smarts, and understanding of what the offense is trying to do. It's just really the whole front, you know, Julius Peppers and all those guys are just doing a really good job communicating and setting up the one-on-one opportunities, and, you know, a lot of team football in there, particularly that defensive front.
Offensively speaking, Mike, I think we're spoiled, and if you guys don't light up the scoreboard, we all hit the panic button. And, like, on the talk shows and stuff after last week's game, the big thing was they don't have Jordy Nelson, can't stretch the field anymore. As the head coach, your thoughts on that whole thing?
I agree with your opening statement. It just makes sure that everybody realizes that you said it. Everybody's spoiled. But, we're a good football team. We're a good offense. You know, you have injuries and things during the course of a year. There's always some up and downs, but, you know, the most important thing for us is to go out and play to our ability, really exercise our plan against our opponent, the San Diego Chargers. And that's really what I look for. When you come off the field as a coach, you know, you want to know that you emptied your game plan out, you've given your players every opportunity to be successful, be aggressive, and do the things that they do. And we'll continue to do that, and Aaron will manage it. You know, he's the best in the game at that. So I really don't have any concerns about our offense.
Mike, there's a certain, for lack of a better word, completeness to this football team insofar as you guys can win games in a number of different ways. You can, in a particular Sunday, you lean heavy one way or have to lean on some other group, offense, defense, special teams. But do you feel like this is kind of a complete or has a potential to be a very, maybe the most complete team you've had?
Definitely. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, that's the vision. We want to, you know, make sure everybody's maxing out, you know, our abilities in all three areas. And so far we're doing that. And we have an opportunity to get better. And that's what's, A, is so exciting. But also, obviously, it's really where you have to stay focused on. And you can't get sidetracked with all the things that may or may go wrong or go right. So this is a football team that has a lot of growth in front of them, but we got a big challenge here with the San Diego Chargers coming to town, and you're explosive, and just their, you know, Phillip Rivers and their offense, particularly their perimeter group. I mean, they got a lot of playmakers, aggressive defense, got playmakers on defense too. So this is a big challenge for us. But once again, we got to go out and make sure that we win our one on ones and in all three phases. And again, let's empty out our game plan and let our guys play.
Did you have a theme of the week this week?
We sure did.
And would you care to relate it?
Love the process, not the prize. So, you know, this season is really broken up in threes, you know, and, with the six games and four. So the process of this first six-week stretch, it's important for us to finish it. And let's not keep worrying about the prize of, you know, what comes after that. So it's all about winning. Everybody loves game day. You know, everybody loves what comes after game day this week. We're not allowed to talk about it, but it's the process. It's always the process. You got to love the process because at the end of this, you know, the games, you always remember games. You'll remember the championships, and, you know, you'll remember standing up on a stage holding the trophy and the reaction to that. But those are moments that you'll think about, but the things you always miss and you got to make sure you enjoy is the process. It's the relationships, working every day, get, you know, the feeling of a good practice stacked by, you know, good meetings and so forth, and going into the games confident. That's where all that builds up to. You can't have the victory without the process. So that has been our focus this week.
Mike, you mentioned injuries a moment ago. And I'm going to throw something out there. It's one of my football beliefs, and if you agree, great. And if you don't, blow it apart. As far as dealing with injuries, like in the NFL, over the years, I think that you're not a hero for playing hurt. You're a hero for playing hurt and well. When you go out there, you're accountable. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree with that. And you have to play hurt in this league. I mean, because, you know, frankly, you know, no one's healthy right now. It's just the level of health of where you are, and it's the ability to play hurt, but be effective, be successful. So, and that's the key. I mean, I think our players understand that if they don't think, you know, they can clearly be effective, then that's a difference between being hurt and being injured.
One of the guys that all indications are he's going to play somewhat hurt is T.J. Lang, which comes as no surprise. He's a tough nut. He's a real deal guy. But he was also part of your latest Cellcom commercial I saw. And Thursday, or JT, as you call him.
Yeah. JT Lang.
Challenge. And now there's a playful part to every commercial, and they've got a heart and lungs of their own. I mean, they're a staple. Now, are they all play or are they work too? How are those commercials treating you?
No, they're fun. You know, it's doing them now for a couple of years. You know, I really have a lot of respect and enjoy, you know, the people at Cellcom. You know, the Reardon family and Al and Jody. I mean, they make it fun. They make it easy. You know, but it's also, you know, you have a lot of respect now being able to do it. Of, you know, the writers and the, you know, the director, and I mean, the people that do the lighting. I mean, I think that's the toughest job on the whole deal. So, so the whole process. I mean, that part of it is what you learn to, you know, respect. And so what, you know, the point I'm making is you want to try to do a good job where, you know, probably the first year or two, I really didn't know what to, you know, I didn't really know what to expect because I had no history or no background in making a commercial. So, but it's kind of fun to see the players, you know, how they interact in those moments too. Because, you know, they want to do a good job and they obviously, you know, want it to look good. And, you know, hopefully they're not making you look like a clown with the writing and, you know, so. But, yeah, TJ's, I thought he was very natural. I had a Randall Cobb. The guys that are actually on the commercials have been, you know, they're just guys with a lot of personality. It really comes natural to them.
Do you have a favorite one of the bunch? Done a number of them.
Oh, I mean, they're all pretty good. I tell you, you know, my favorite Cellcom. The one that was kind of was funny was when Josh Sitton and Brian Blogger, they had pushed me on that sled because we only did like one take, I think, or two, because it was on a hill. It was like on a hill, and then there's a campfire down there to the right. You know, Josh and Brian could he could jump right in there too. I thought these. And it was old. It might have been sled used to block on. I mean, this thing was an old school sled, and it was, you know, I could have used a stuntman on the thing. I mean, it was a little risky to be honest, because I'm thinking these two guys are going to drive they're going to drive me right into the damn fire. And the problem was it was about 85 degrees. You know, we got this campfire going on. I mean, I really don't remember how it turned out, but I remember making it thinking this thing is this. This could be ugly. This could be ugly. So that was my favorite one, I guess, making it because I really didn't know what it was going to look like once it got to the editing. But they've all been fun, actually. I mean, the people make it fun. It's, you know, I the Cellcom people are class act, and they put a lot into it.
Mike, thank you, and good luck against. I'm drawing a blank right now.
San Diego Chargers.
San Diego Chargers.
Easy there, altar boy.